Mike from Stantec, you've been hearing all of these comments. I really would turn to you to the suggestions on what you could do to tweak this to address more of the concerns.
Well, and that's why I came tonight, just to kind of hear this a little bit. You know, I got some ideas. You know, we could rent another monitor and put one on both locations. We used to have one down on the southern end down there by where most of these complaints are for the recent blast on October 1st. But we haven't been monitoring down there because every time we did that a few years ago, it was so low compared to the ones on 51st. So, so there's some different ideas we could think about. You know, every year, though, for the $43,000 is your money. You can spend it any way you want. And we've talked about surveys in the past. We've talked about all sorts of different setback evaluations. So I can't read your mind going into that. It seems like blasting's the number one concern, but you make a good point where no matter how much we've monitored, we've proven they're within limits so far. So, I mean, I don't have a magic pill on how to spend that money or idea how to spend that money either. But I can come up with ideas, you know, based on what you get or don't get. So like in December or January, give that to you.
So you're saying maybe we could shift, right now you have not too many blasting monitor events even on this one.
Well, the city-owned machine, you know, died after the first, you know, it didn't work for the full. We were going to do a 4-week period and a 16-week period, and they don't know when we're going to do that. So the 4-week period, it worked fine. And then partly through the 16-week period is when it didn't work right. Now, we put it back out again in a reconfigured manner, thinking maybe we could get it to work. And then we didn't know that again for 2 weeks, and so we verified that it wasn't, that little reconfiguration wasn't going to do the trick. That's when we pulled it and sent it into the manufacturer. So so then, our evaluation stopped at that point.
I guess I'd like to see how many people in this room think that spending money on the monitoring when we can never get a reading that is over what the PDD limits is worth the money.
If you get accurate readings, it would be, because didn't I read somewhere where 7 of the readings were false readings?
Those, Mike, would you like to speak to that because you're the one who did the monitoring?
I believe, I don't know how you got that, because we have 7 that we thought were blasts that turned out not to be blasts. And who knows what those could be from. Those could be from cars. Those could be from the pump house that it's by, right?
What I'm hearing from you is, and take it with a grain of salt, because I worked in the transportation industry for 47 years.
So you're familiar with
something. I've heard every excuse in the book. Came with a bunch of excuses for solutions. This doesn't work. We didn't know about this. I didn't do this. False readings. All we're asking for is get somebody that gives us an accurate reading when it happened.
Well, actually, it was about a year ago when we discussed this. We decided that it wasn't going to be that critical to have 100% accurate readings. It was more important. It was more important, and I don't want to paraphrase this, but it was more important to have readings that were close. Because no matter how accurate we tried to make them, it would probably be he said, she said anyway regarding the exact number that we came up anyway. So it was more or less just a evaluation and guidance of oversight of their activities.
Mr. Deedle.
And the accurate readings don't have any value unless those blasts are close to the limit.
Can I read up a letter that took the water on this October 11th? And this is from Stanton. During the period, BMD had a total of 7 blasting events, shot IDs 47 to 52. None of these blasting events were recorded by the city owned monitor placement.
That's when we realized it had failed.
7 times.
It's a 2-week period that we pick it up after 2 weeks.
Okay.
We don't get it each time.
I'm not a real smart guy. Okay, I really am truly not. But if you install software, don't you have an office?
No.
Remotely that
no.
You can say this is not working.
No.
I knew when a truck was broke down in Nebraska. within 20 minutes.
Well, maybe we should have your monitor, but we go out every 2 weeks and we download the data. That's how it works.
I mean,
is it opening up the contract?
Right.
And I'm not thinking
that. No, I understand.
The whole world is
There are real time monitors, and there's the monitor we have. And the monitor we have is we get 2 weeks of data. And it's not our monitor. It's a city-owned monitor. So we save money by using the city-owned monitor.
University of Madison or UWM and see if they'd be willing to use it as a teaching tool for their students to put that
A real-time monitor is something you could consider doing, but again, if you want to monitor something that's going to have all the limits anyway, it's that catch-22 of, you know, how you want to spend that money either, too. You know,
I think if you approach the university, they might use it as a teaching
possibly
tool and maybe be more proactive when they're using it as a teaching. And again, I'm talking off the top of my head, but that's a resource that I don't think anybody's having.
Yeah, I can just see the, you know, a student monitoring system going to court and having them go up against a professional consultant.
That the monitor doesn't work and the acronyms.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a horse apiece.
To your point, Alderman, I think it's worthwhile to continue to monitor, even though we know possibly it's going to just validate the fact that Penn and Dolan is still staying within the PDD limits. Okay, but I think we need to start from base one and get accurate, consistent, good monitoring, which we somehow lacked recently.
Mike, what was the cost of the real-time monitoring if we were to purchase one through with the monies we have?
I don't know if we ever really evaluated that. We were going to. Our goal was to move the monitoring location away from the pump house to a different location.
I thought we did. And I thought yes, maybe Fred was one of the ones looking into it too.
Well, yeah, Payne and Dolan offered to.
Vibratech, sure. We'll install it anywhere.
If I may, we had this discussion last year when this came up. As I mentioned earlier, we have four permanent side grass, not owned by us, not run by us. So in a way, they're already independent. But if you want to verify those, you can go to either the same company as the city to pay the contract and set up a similar type permanent side grass by those, and then are comparing it to. That may be a better way of going because, A, that's a permanent setup. It's really met for the long periods of time. But then it's also by a company that does the operation.
Who is the company that's doing your monitor?
Vibratech. So you're a big, I guess, a big national company. Their office is out of Chicago. And I think we're around $500 a month for size and craft.
Could we, I guess I'm not sure what all our options are going to be at this point. We monitor and we don't really get anything, but.
Yep.
We could consider the real-time monitoring. Mike, could you look into real-time monitoring, the cost, and add that into your services? And let us know at the next CORI meeting, which we haven't set that yet. Other than that, I'm not really sure what else we can do to tweak this.
Are you still receiving?
Yeah, go ahead.
You said that in this contract, this last year, you're plotting the complaints and tracking that with the location and for those glass for the first time. That seems like that would be useful information. It says that you don't compile that and report it till the very end of the year. year, is it possible to do some of that reporting halfway through or something? So you have to wait until
well,
the full thing?
Actually, we did it every 2 weeks when we got the monitor reports. I was updating it when we're in the year report. We would tie it all together, and then we'd be back. So yeah, I was updating that information in the one that's hard to make. Determinations about what it really means to me at all.
Okay.
And that was being updated.
Does that have to be, that's not open to the rest of the board, right? That's just for the committee to access?
Correct. Okay. And I don't even have a password for it, so.
Right. Yeah. No, but I meant somehow stripping the confidentiality, because I understand in the complaint form people can opt out of that. But stripping that part of it out, could residents have access to that information?
Mr. Deedle, do you have a...
I believe yes.
Oh.
I don't know if there's any added cost for that. Would that be a second FTP site? Just to make sure we have nothing confidential on it?
So, Mr. Deedle, will you send out that link and password again?
Or I was going to send Mike everybody's email addresses, and then he was going to send that link to all of them.
That'll work, too. Okay. All right.
One of the things that's been changing is we've been looking at specific complaints and trying to monitor them and trying to pattern them, if you will. And that's the information that we have contracted for this year. Not that we want less monitoring. It's just that we decided that the complaints coming from people needed to have a better look at and a look-see. So
right.
That's why the contract has been shifting a little bit more towards that contact base or the complaint base, because that's where you people live, and that's your home. So that's why we shifted away a little bit, and the funding that is available to do more of that pins spotting kind of activity, so we know where we can look and talk to and what's going on there. And so that's the contract that kind of ebbs and flows with the things that were going on. We have had complaints. We want to start detailing them out and getting better information on that data as to where it's happening. So that's kind of the reason why some of this is always an ebb and a flow.
Mike, can you get the complaint data and the, I'm guessing it's like a dot mapping or location mapping to us before we decide on this contract, but because that would be helpful.
The final report should be done before next Tuesday. So
okay.
We have that to look at before January, when I really think we're going to kind of talk through what you want to do. So you'll have a good month to look at it. And I think that will help you decide based on that information. Well, this is worthless. Let's not do that. And, you know, things like that. So
okay.
I think that'll help.
All right. Well, I think at this point we'll just, I'd like to see you give this to some of the constituents that are willing to look it over and give us some feedback.
I've shared it already with anybody that's asked for it in terms of sending it out to people. So I'm more than willing to send this to anybody that is interested in any part of it.
And I don't think it makes sense really for this committee to meet before the next council meeting meets, because it will be helpful to have that council feedback to share with everyone, and then we can see, you know, we'll get more information about the contract and that, and we'll continue the contract. So I think what we'll do is we'll do the steps we said about getting the passwords and getting that information and the feedback from the residents on the contract, and we'll carry this item over to the next meeting and try to set a meeting sometime in the first or the second week of January. All right, so is there any other discussion on the contract? No discussion. I'll move on to the status report on the update of the quarry reclamation plan. Mr. Deedle.
That one, the ball is in my court. Shortly before the last meeting, Jesse had finalized the materials that he said had to go into the public hearing notices and all that stuff. and I just haven't been able to put it together and send it out.
Could you just, for the record, explain to the people that are here what that reclamation plan means to them?
So there's a state law that requires
Excuse me. Mr. Deedle's about to tell you something that's pretty important to the future of Franklin Quarry area, and there's a lot of talking going on, so I appreciate it if we could just have Mr. Deedle speaking at this point.
There's a state law that requires that all quarries have a reclamation plan. It's prepared by the actual quarry, but then the city has to approve it so that the city could ask for changes. The committee, the quarry monitoring committee, did work with Payne and Dolan on changes to the reclamation plan. A final draft was completed. The issue was that the state law says what the process is to get this thing adopted by the Common Council and the type of public notice that has to go out. But our city attorney decided that he wanted to be extra cautious and make sure that not only does he give all the public notice required by the state law, but all the public notice that was required by our normal PDD stuff. So sort of giving extra public notice. And then he had to do the research to make sure that he could legally do that. So that's what he was working on last year and earlier this year, and he finalized it early to mid this year and then gave all that information up to me to put it all together and then send it out. So there'd be public hearing notices public hearings at both the Plan Commission and at the Council. And then the Council makes a recommendation. The Quarry Monitoring Committee already did. The Plan Commission would make a recommendation. All that goes to the Council, and the Council makes the final decision. And again, that state law says what has to be in the reclamation plan.
People might not know what that means here. Is that going to end the life of the quarry is done?
Yep. And the short answer is the hole would stay. They would push some of the berm back into the hole, keep some of the topsoil to spread out along the edges. The hole would gradually fill up with water, and it could potentially become a lake. Then the whole property could potentially become something like a park. There had been talk a long time ago in some early city planning efforts that maybe residential development would go along that around that lake. But no final decisions have been made by the city, and no final decisions have been made in the reclamation plan. The plan just says that they would knock the berm. They would take all the equipment out of the hole, let it fill up with water, push some of the dirt back in, keep the topsoil, spread that around, and then do some landscaping and erosion control measures.
Would that be zoned then to be absolute, whether that would be residential or park?
Yep, the reclamation plan says at that time it envisions that the city would make those decisions, what it would become zoned. Because
okay.
They would, Payne and Dolan would officially tell us, we're done. It's done. We're not working here anymore. And here's the reclamation plan. They have to put money aside to make sure that that could be done. So, you know, taking the equipment out, pushing the berms in, spreading out the dirt, they'll have to put money aside to cover all those costs. And so if they go bankrupt and disappear, there'd still be money there. But then when they do all that, they're done. And that PDD would no longer apply, and we could rezone the property if we wanted to. The law also allows us, Payne and Dolan or the city, to periodically review that reclamation plan in case things change, and we could make changes to that reclamation. So it's not stuck in or cast in stone forever and ever. Either Payne and Dolan or the city could come back and update that reclamation plan.
Go ahead, sir.
Is that year 2040 or approximately?
There is no time frame. I've heard people tell me when I first started here that Payne and Dolan used to say that there was a time frame. But in the 12 years I've been here, I can honestly say Clint has never told me a time frame when the quarry would finish.
So there's hope yet?
Well, what's going to happen, similar to the PDDs that were adopted, you know, adopt the quarry reclamation plan while you're sitting here. And then when you're gone, then everything changes and everybody says, hey, how did that happen? You know, it'll be the same situation 20 years from now. And they'll say, wait, when we were sitting in the room, it was this, and how did it get to be that? And, yeah.
Go ahead. A few years ago at the 4th of July event, Payne and Dolan gave quarry tours.
Mm-hmm.
Will that continue? Will
that's up future, up to them.
When we were on the bus, the tour guide, he introduced himself as a representative from Payne and Dolan. He told us on the bus 2040. We had all sorts of questions, and he was answering all our questions. But will there be a possibility that the public can view the side of the quarry?
Yeah, so what I usually put out there for our neighbors, especially for people who are close to you, in the contact info, and if you want to go for a ride, you can do a ride through the quarry. Part of what Stampac does is we choose it once a month, and they actually come into the quarry and do some inspection things. So we'll be more than willing to do that, and actually, if you want to see a blast, one blast one day, we can arrange that. It just has to be, obviously, during the week, and blast and all that.
That was Clint speaking on the quarry, and a resident from Alma Barber's district. Alma Barber, you have the floor.
Thanks for that question, Jill, because I was raising my hand to just give that kind of the background. What is the reclamation plan? I think that, I want everyone to understand that at some point out in the future, there's a lot of technical aspects to it, like what kind of ground cover, what kind of trees, what's going to happen down the road whenever that does happen. But I also want to say that Clint has always told me, if you've got anybody that wants to take a tour, let them know and they'll schedule one for you. I took one. I was doing some other business with the quarry a while back, and I asked for the tour, and it was just very interesting. You can see where the blasting is, you can see the holes, you can see how they do it. And anybody that wants to do that, please take advantage of it, because they'll give you an hour and a half tour on an individual basis or a family basis to go through all that. And anybody that's interested in it from your group too. I mean, it could be a group thing that you could really get down in there and take a look at it. It's well worth it. And the explanation is right there in front of you. You see it, it's in your eyesight, you can see it.
And you get a chance to envision what it might look like in the future as a lake, or just give you a little bit of an idea how big that could actually be. And it could be a very nice park for the city in the future. I'm hoping that, they don't rezone it and take it away from the public. That would be a really unfortunate thing if that happens, so... Okay, I guess anything else on the reclamation plan?
Nope.
Okay, and so, Mr. Deedle, do you have a time frame that you're going to try to get that moving forward?
I would have thought by now.
What's the first step?
The new staff person we have starting second week of December. I'm figuring the first couple of months is going to be spent training them. I'm hoping after that first couple of months I see a relief.
So,
and then that's what I'm hoping.
Is the process that it has to go to plan commission first?
So I have to put everything together. Yep, it has to go to your recommendation, and this public hearing notice will happen at the plan commission, and then another set of stuff at the common council. So Jesse's told me what the process is. Mm-hmm. Now I just have to put all the pieces together.
Okay. Well, maybe we can just keep adding that one onto the agenda.
And yes, you can keep reminding me, keep pushing me.
So make a note that goes back on the next agenda so we can keep up on what the status is. Okay, going on to item D, this updates from planning manager about matters pertaining to citizen complaints, staff's quarry monitoring activities, and the consultant's quarry monitoring activities. We've kind of covered a lot of that, but if you have anything else.
Some of the people have already received a copy of that report from Stantec that's in your package as well. I can see that they were making quotes from it. The only other thing I would mention is that, as normal, since the last meeting, July 11th, we have had 29 complaints. 15 of those were from the blast on October 1st. So then 13 were about other blasts and other days. And all those blasts were within the PDD limits. Only a few of them were also monitored by Stantec that same day. And, of course, then those were in the limits. One of the complaints was about debris in Rossum.
The one?
Which one?
One
of the complaints was about debris on Rossum, so stones and stuff. And then most of the time, I can also mention I did look at that too. Most of the time that Stantec is out there doing their site visits, Payne and Dolan had either the street sweeper or the water truck out there. Not every time, but most of the time.
Okay. Any feedback from the committee on that? Well, we've reached the end of scheduling the next meeting. Joel, you'll work to have Gail send something out to probably the 11th of January, possibly?
Yep. Well, the second week of January.
Sometime the second week.
All of you.
Okay. All right. So, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second. We have first and a second to adjourn, and we are adjourned. Motion carries.
Thank you all for coming.